This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. And like we always tell you, the next 3 hours we are here to inform, perhaps entertain, and we will certainly give you great guests. That's how we roll. Wes, good morning. How are you? Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Pack. This is people scratching their head going, wait a second. The network launched on August 22nd. What anniversary is it? Well, this is the day that Mark and I started what has turned into a television show.
Yep.
Except it was on SiriusXM. It was on satellite radio at Channel 371, the ACC channel, where many of you still follow our program, and we're grateful for that. And Mark and I debuted something called ACC This Morning, which in March of 2018, by September, I think, became ACC Central.
Yep, the Central.
When somebody identified the Central Division of the ACC during a football broadcast on another network, as they like to say. And one thing led to another, and by the following August, right? Yeah, August of 19, we were doing television, just like that.
I remember, Mr. Durham, not only our first show, which was funny in its sense, but I also remember how all of this got started, and we'll give you a very quick history lesson. Steve Cohen, who runs the show at SiriusXM, had this concept about creating conference channels on radio for everybody, ACC, Big Ten, everybody. And when I heard about it, I said, well, that's a great idea. Again, this was up and above Channel 84 on SiriusXM, which does all college sports. And I remember being in New York and running into Steve. I said, hey, can I get 5 minutes of your time? Yeah, Pack, what do you need? I said, I just want to throw an idea by you. I said, I would like to host a show on the ACC channel. And he looked at me like I was speaking Chinese. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're already doing a show in the afternoon. I said, I know. I know what I'm doing. I am so sold that this is going to work, but I would like to be involved on the ACC channel. He said, Pack, if you want to do that, that'd be great. He goes, well our people will call your people, will figure the thing out. Well, they did. And they asked me, Pack, okay, you're going to do this, right? I said, yeah. They said, all right, who would you like to partner with? And I said, can I pick anybody? this is a true, honest to God story. I said, I could pick from anybody in the world, right? They said, well, I mean, if we can afford them. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you who I would like to be my partner for this project. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, who is it? I said, Wes Durham. And they looked at me and they said, well, have you worked with Wes before? I said, no. They said, well, how well do you know him? I said, I know who he is. I said, but I said, we pass each other maybe, I don't know, 2-3 times a year, maybe. And they were like, well, why in the world do you think this is going to be a good idea? I said, trust me on this. I think me and Wes, as a tandem, giving our ACC background, will be perfect for this. And they're like, well, do you think he's interested? I said, I have no earthly idea. You asked me a question, who I would like as a partner. I told you my answer. I don't know if he... They said, well, do you have a contact for him? I said, actually, I don't, but I'll find one for, because I didn't have Wes's number. I said, but I tell you what, I will find his info. I will call him. And if he's interested, I'll put you two together. And they said, okay, that'd be great. And so that is exactly what happened. I got Wes's number. I called Wes. I said, Wes, Mark, hey, Pack, how you doing? Great. Hey, here's an idea. And I pitched it to you and you said, yeah, sounds like a good, sounds like a lot of fun. I said, okay, I'm going to hook y'all up and then I'm going to get out of the way. Whatever financials y'all figure out, you figure it out, and the rest is history. There you go.
All right. Two sidebars to the story. A lot of people think that Mark and I, because of our dads, grew up, we're up in elbows everywhere, that we've known each other since we were wee ones. The fact is, I knew of Mark when he ran the Clemson Network, because I was just getting out of college and was interested in getting into radio, so I knew he was involved in the Clemson Network. Then I actually called in one time to the old Primetime with the Pac-Man show as a guest, I think, a couple times. And then when I went to television, left Georgia Tech in 2013, you and I connected, and at the time, the 484 was producing your show.
Olivia, great.
And yeah. She said, can you do regular ACC hits on Packer's show? Absolutely. So every Wednesday, I don't know, 2013, 2014 on, I used to do every Wednesday with you, right? For 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that,
on,
right?
On a regular off-campus show, which is now off-campus on 84, you were, quote-unquote, ACC insider, if that makes any sense.
That's it. So, the funniest part of this whole deal, in some respects, is Mark and I had never worked together. We know a lot of the same people. We grew up around a lot of the same people. That's why, like, when Boo Corrigan is on this show, Mark grew up knowing Boo and the Corrigan family, and I grew up knowing Boo and the Corrigan family. Same with Swofford. Same with several other longtime ACC folks. John Curry, the AD at Wake Forest. Mark has a relationship with him. I have a different kind of relationship with him. His father, the late Dr. Curry, was my grandmother's cancer doctor at UNC Hospital years ago. So all these things kind of tie together. But the thing that I think people are surprised of the most is that you and I really did not know of each other or weren't around each other as kids growing up with your dad doing games and my dad doing games.
Yeah, and you know, and Woody being basically in Greensboro, we were in Winston-Salem. You would think that it would have been, we would have seen each other all the time, but we never saw each other. But that's how this whole thing got started. And that's the funny thing is, I still remember 3 years ago, right now, we were starting the show, and Wes could not make. And for the record, your dad, you know, it was a tough time for the Durhams. When this thing got started, your dad had passed away, and everything else. And so you were going 100 miles.
He passed away a day and a half later from the first show. That's what happened. He passed away. The show started on Monday. My dad died on Tuesday night. Right.
And the timing.
I was sitting on an airplane when the show began.
That's exactly right. And that's what I was going to say. I mean, it was a tough time. The timing of when SiriusXM wanted to start this show on the radio and with what you were going through on the personal standpoint could not have been a worse case scenario. And so for the very show right now, literally right now, Seth Greenberg was going to fill in for Wes for the very first show. And we didn't know how long Wes was going to be out. And we totally got it. And we figured for the whole week you were going to be out of pocket. And you said, listen, for the first show, let me call in. And you literally were boarding, I think, a Delta flight and called in. And the interview lasted, I don't know, 15 seconds. Before we had technical issues.
The cell gave out.
And, yeah, the cell went out, and we were like, oh, what a nightmare this is. So we're like, all right, partner, you know, hang in there, thoughts and prayers, and we'll see you when we see you. And so Wes was gone, and so I had Greenberg for the first show. But the funny thing with Greenberg is, I don't know if he told anybody, but he had to do like 4 or 5 SportsCenter hits on ESPN. So we would do like a segment. And then Greenberg would go, hey, Pack, I'll be right back. I got to go do a SportsCenter hit. And he'd disappear. And he'd disappear for a half an hour. And then he'd come back. So the first day, I remember when we got done with the very first show 3 years ago, I remember walking upstairs. I still did it right here from this place. It was just my bungalow down here, caveman style. I remember walking up the steps, and Amy said, how'd the first show go? I said, oh, I don't know, pretty much a disaster. And she goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know about Wes and his dad. Yeah, it's terrible. I said, well, Wes was on for about, I don't know, 10 seconds before his cell went out, or he had some technical issues, or Delta refused to let him talk to us anymore. And then my partner Greenberg, he was supposed to be on for 3 hours, and he was on for about an hour and 10 minutes haphazardly. So we were all over the place. And I said, you know, I don't know if this thing, I said, I really thought this was going to be a great idea. Maybe it'll turn into something, but man, we're off to a roaring start for show number one of ACC this morning. And now, you know, the rest of the story. Here we are 3 years later. We got a TV studios at everybody's house. We're doing this thing on SiriusXM. We got this bad boy on ACC Network, and that didn't even exist at the time. Who knew? And here we are finding ourselves with cats and dogs and talking sports, and you just never know. Crazy idea kind of rolls into something, and right place, right time. But I know the right guy is on board, and I just knew that Wes Durham was the right fit for this show, and the rest is history. So there you go. Now you know the entire story about how we got to where we
are. There you go. And above all, let's thank folks who have been a part of the show, watched the show, listened to the show, call in, participate, friends we've made, those of you that engage with us on social media, all that. We're grateful that you're along for the ride, as they say. And as Back always likes to say, we're here to inform, entertain, have a couple laughs, and bring you great guests. And we're going to do that today. Kelly Gramlich will be here. How about Syracuse's Jim Boeheim at 8 a.m.?
Yeah,
Orange playing well. A couple big wins. Coaches got the weekend off before they get ready to go to Greensboro. Cam Hayes, the freshman from NC State, Jordan Cornette will be here. And in case you missed it yesterday, Tyler Hansbro stopped by again. He was great. Always enjoy visiting with Tyler Hansbro. Pack is any one player, and I had somebody ask me this yesterday, from the guy we knew as a player at Carolina who was fine with the media, but wouldn't say overt, wasn't, you know, kind of.
He wasn't warm and open, fuzzy.
That's it. It was just kind of what it was, right? Cut and dry. Now it's kind of, well, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, very good. I mean, we enjoy the talks, and they're good conversation with Tyler Hansbro. So in case you missed that, that comes up later this morning as well. But happy anniversary. And by the way, thanks to Shane Blackburn and the guys at SiriusXM who helped get us on the air, Mike Mazvinsky. Yeah, Sam Garcia. And, of course, now with Drew and Josh and Chrissy and Meg and Jen and everybody else that helps us here at ACC Network, we're grateful for the support.
And I would say this too, not to suck up to the bosses, because that's really not our style, but we'll do it here since it really makes it. If Steve Cohen that day in New York City going, Pack, listen, we're paying you to do an afternoon show, please quit bothering me with your goofy ideas. If Steve Cohen didn't say, you know what, Pack, let's go with it. This never happens, right? I mean, the show, the radio show never happens.
Absolutely.
The TV show never happens without the radio show and without Stacey McCollum and Roz Durant, who must have listened and went, you know what? These two idiots actually get along, or they're on to something. If they didn't have the vision for this, this never happened. Yeah. So, again,
that's it.
One goofy idea kind of spurned into whatever this has turned into. So, you know, for people always want to know, how do I get involved in radio and TV? Well, sometimes you just got to take a risk and take a chance. And if you fall flat on your face, hey, no big deal. Pick yourself up and let's go. Now, we do that every day. Seriously, every day we do that. We'll prove that in the next 2 hours.
We do it in,
in segments, multiple times. And we will fall flat on our face
and pain.
We don't care. Just, you know, knock the dirt off. Let's go, man.
And every once in a while, we do it in pain.
We are doing it right now without medication, by the way. But that I believe is going to change at 10:35 a.m. when I see my man, Dr. Romanowski, hopefully with a giant needle. And I'm willing to do it after the last two nights of trying to sleep upright. It's hard. It's difficult.
How was the dentist okay? Did you survive?
I didn't even
the
go.
Dentist?
I bagged the dentist. I told the dentist, you know what? I put you 16th in the Sweet 16. I'm not coming. So I was in too much pain to go to the dentist yesterday. Seriously. So I bagged the dentist. And so today I'm going to the knee specialist.
How much pain are you in? I'm in so much pain I can't go to the dentist.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, dentist, you've been topped. You've been topped by the knee specialist. That's when you know you're getting old and feeble. It's when all of a sudden you start running down doctors. It's like a doctor's March Madness. Up, knee man beat the dentist. The 2 seed beat the 15. He moves on to the next round of pain.
Oh, man.
That's what we ought to do.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, we got the ladies' tournament. Had some surprises. We kind of told you yesterday we both had vibes. It could be some surprises in Greensboro, and there were. We'll get to all that coverage. We'll cover everything you need. But, Wes, from the men's perspective, the race for the double bye is on, and that includes a game tonight with huge ramifications. And Georgia Tech is still in the hunt.
Yeah, Georgia Tech needs to win tonight in Winston-Salem to keep their hopes alive. Really, the double bye is going to hinge on tomorrow afternoon's 4 o'clock game at Louisville with Virginia and the Cards. It's a game you can see on ESPN2 with Dave O'Brien and Chris Patola on the call. Pack, Louisville really controls the whole deal here, because if the Cards were to beat Virginia, then Louisville would be the 3 seed and Virginia Tech would fall to the 4 seed. Remember now, we've got 3 schools whose regular season is over. Virginia Tech, NC State, and, of course, Syracuse, and Jim Boeheim coming up at 8 o'clock. So that's piece number one. Okay, Louisville beats Virginia. There are a couple of different scenarios here, and let's start with that. And the cards at home, Pack, I'd say it's up for grabs for sure.
Well, here's the problem. The good news is they're home. Bad news is it's Virginia. Virginia has really had Louisville's number. They've beaten them every which way. They've blown them out. They've absolutely ripped their heart out. And still remember that game. They were down 5 with 2 seconds to go and found a way to win. I mean, so Louisville's going to have to exercise a demon to get to where they want to go. But I'll still go back. I know you said this is scenario A, but I will still go back to Georgia Tech. I'm going to go to them first before we get to Louisville here for a second. This is me talking out loud.
Okay.
Georgia Tech still has a chance to be a double bye team. They must win tonight in Switzerland, right? They got to beat the Deacs tonight. And the Deacs have been, it's been a struggle since Tallahassee. Would Georgia Tech be a heavy favorite? They would, but you still got to win. If Georgia Tech wins tonight, it eliminates Clemson and North Carolina from having any chance of being in the double bye. So a Georgia Tech win eliminates North Carolina and Clemson tomorrow, regardless of whatever they do. If Georgia Tech loses, I believe they're eliminated. So regardless of what happens with Louisville, you know what? Even if Louisville loses, it'd still have a better winning percentage than Georgia Tech. So it really kind of hinges. I think it starts with Georgia Tech tonight. They're the ones that kind of put the first ball in motion here. If they win, okay, Louisville, tag, you're it. You know, you got to go take care of business and do your deal. But you're right. I think Georgia Tech, that's one issue. But Louisville, Virginia is a monster game for a lot of reasons. For Virginia to continue their momentum, to get on that roll because they finally took care of business this week. And for Louisville, we kind of expected the Louisville-Virginia Tech game, which had huge, huge ramifications early in the week. We didn't have the game. In some respects, Virginia Tech not playing at all this week, they locked and loaded their double bye. And that they played both Louisville and a road trip to NC State. We know how good the Wolfpack's playing. Really, Virginia Tech was in jeopardy of falling out of the double bye. So good news, bad news if you're a Hokie. Bad news, you didn't play. The good news is, well, okay, good. You kind of won by forfeit to get that double bye. Georgia Tech controls their destiny from that perspective. They got to win tonight and then hopefully get some luck. If they lose, they're out. Clemson and North Carolina watching Georgia Tech tonight. So there's all kinds of stuff brewing here and trying to get to this double bye. But we do know the Florida State and Virginia Tech, without question, regardless of what happens, they're locked and loaded for the double bye, those three.
All right, you mentioned Georgia Tech, and we showed you the scenarios there. If they beat Wake Forest and Louisville loses to Virginia, then Georgia Tech would slide in as the four, right? Then you go to the scenario that involves Clemson and potentially North Carolina. This is where it gets a little interesting, and you're thinking, wait a second, Carolina? How? Well, here's one. If Virginia beats Louisville and Wake beats Georgia Tech, that's Clemson's path, assuming, dangerous to do these times, the Tigers beat Pittsburgh. Okay? Only meeting of the year, I think, between Pitt and Clemson, by the way. Am I not mistaken on that? Is that right?
They have not
played all year. Is that right?
They have not seen each other, and here we are on March 5th. Right.
Yeah. So Clemson needs to beat Pittsburgh. Now, what happens if Clemson loses to Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech loses to Wake Forest, Louisville loses to Virginia, and Carolina beats Duke?
Carolina's in.
Carolina gets the 4 seed.
Yeah. North Carolina's got the craziest path. They need everybody to lose in front of them, like you just said. Clemson, Georgia Tech, Louisville.
And when
that happens. And they have to beat Duke. And if that happens, hey, guess what, Carolina fans? You guys get to chill till Thursday and become the 4 seed. Yeah, but North Carolina's got the toughest scenario that, hey, they got to win and hope everybody else loses. That is exactly right. And if Georgia Tech wins tonight, like I said, Clemson and North Carolina are toast.
That's it.
No chance.
That's the easiest way to sort it out because the 40 minutes of basketball tonight is not only Georgia Tech's investment, it's also an investment for Clemson and for Carolina, who could go to the floor tomorrow and know whether or not they have a chance.
That's right.
The other one, the linchpin in this that I find most interesting, and you mentioned Louisville, Virginia, Pack. Louisville, Virginia, I tell you now, Cavaliers got back on track after the 3-game skid, but they have had Louisville's number And look at BPI throwing two-thirds favorite up there for Virginia in Louisville.
Excellent news for Louisville. Really good news for Louisville. That BPI thinks that Virginia's a 66% favorite. But I think both these teams have something going on here. And like I said, for Virginia, you know, I'll go back to their win. They snapped their three-game losing streak. But I'll go back to Jay Huff and Kihei Clark not starting the second half. I thought that was Tony Bennett looking at leadership and saying, hey, guys, I need you guys now more than ever. And if this is a wake-up call,
right,
so be it. And, yeah, they beat Miami. They were supposed to beat Miami. But it wasn't like that was an easy W. You know, Miami, again, they've been hanging around and giving people fits despite having both hands tied behind their back. So I expect, you know, I think Tony Bennett was kind of sending a message to the guys he knows have to be good in March for Virginia to say, guys, it's time. You know, we got to be focused in and ready to go. And Louisville, let's be honest too, Wes, while we're sitting here talking about the double bye and all that stuff, Louisville also needs some wins. I mean, the last thing they need is to kind of stumble in to the ACC tournament, especially when you start taking a look at some of these brackets. And I know everybody's just kind of cruising like, oh, yeah, Louisville's in. You know, you don't want to lose this game at home and all of a sudden be surprised in the first round of the ACC tournament, for argument's sake, and put yourself where people start whispering about, all right, let's really take a look at their resume. And, you know, we know Malik Williams is out. That was a huge loss. So this great backcourt's going to really have to take over. And, again, Karlik has been fantastic and Johnson. So, you know, both of these teams have a lot to play for up and above whatever you're going to be seated next week in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I agree with it. And Karlik Jones is clearly become, just by, you know, given the talk and some of the conjecture this week, Karlik Jones is in this conversation for ACC Player of the Year. So a great effort against Virginia would certainly enhance that, especially because, I'm telling you, the votes are due. I mean, they're the due on Sunday morning. And so Karlik Jones would, with a win against Louisville or a win against Virginia for Louisville and a good ball game coincide, who knows? I still think this vote's going to be really, really close.
I tell you what I do find. Of the year. I'm with you. And I'm glad I'm not voting. But I do find it interesting that two of the quote-unquote experts, Seth Greenberg and Jay Billis, on our show this week, both, when asked that question point blank, both responded the exact same way. And said, Mr. Jones from Louisville is your ACC Player of the Year. Both of them said that. And they actually had two different reasons why, which I thought was interesting, too. So who knows how this is going to come out. We'll announce this, God willing, on Monday, assuming we're still employed. And this show is not canceled on its anniversary. So if that's the case, we'll make that announcement. And I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and you're going to be surprised because there's a Moses Wright stat out there that since 1992 in ACC basketball compares to one other player. A stat about Moses Wright, Pack. It's crazy.
Hadn't seen that one.
And if you look at this, you will go, you will be like, whoa. It's, I mean, it's like really unbelievable how good this stat is. So we'll get to that before we're done.
Oh, you're going to tease me with that one? Because I've not seen that stat. You're teasing me.
Yeah, I shared it with the Lumberjacks. Let's put it that way.
There you go. I like it. Like all right. Yeah. By the way,
all right. Kelly Gramlich. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Traditional or modern? I asked you that the other day, right? You went with you went with modern. 3-year anniversary is either glass, right? Glass
or leather?
No, leather is the other way. So just saying.
Yeah.
So for folks out there watching, listening, if you're interested. Glass or leather? That's what we're accepting for the 3rd year anniversary.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's a Friday. Thank goodness it's a Friday.
Yeah, it is.
We got hoops in the air, man. Big games with the ladies and the men today.
All right, quick reminder, check out the ACC Championship Hub for everything you need to know about not only the women's tournament this week, but the men's tournament next week. Exclusive Chalk Talks, highlights, games, and prizes accessible from the ACC mobile app and accchamphub.com. You can go there via the website. I did that last night to look at some of the box scores and some of the other stuff that had already been posted from the women's event yesterday. Don't you like the transition from that to Kelly Gramlich, Pack, who's been up all night tabulating things? She never sleeps. Nothing but net after dark last night with Monica, Kelsey, and Coach McGraw. And KG, you did a nice job. Coach is still living and dying on those Notre Dame games. And when Kendall Spray threw in the three off the glass last night, I could tell that that might have ended Muffet's night a little early. Uh-oh. Yeah,
well,
it is. That's
morning,
right.
Gentlemen. Got the coffee. Yes, Coach was no doubt living and dying. I was too, you know, with that Clemson-Notre Dame game. But Coach is a little less further removed, and she was definitely disappointed. But overall, just as a normal basketball fan watching that game, you weren't disappointed because it was a great back and forth ball game.
Kelly, I really did think of you and Muffet with the back and forth of all the Clemson Notre Dame stuff that's been going on. And when the game was a final, I was like, oh, Kelly is absolutely giving Coach the hardest time. And I'm thinking, I wonder if she's going to whisper JLF. And you're going to go, what's JLF? Just like football. I was just waiting for a Kelly Gramlich special with Coach and with the needle back and forth. But nevertheless, you know, one of our questions yesterday on the show was, do we believe there'd be some surprises in the first real day of four games? And we both thought there would be. And really, I thought the tone was set with the very first game with Wake Forest in a really kind of a must-win situation if they're going to get to the postseason. To beat a North Carolina team that's been so dangerous and fresh off of knocking off Virginia Tech and snapping Kenny Brooks' winning streak, that was a monster win for the Demon Deacons yesterday, knocking off the Heels.
Oh, it was. And you know, Pac, we could use – that's the thing. If I overuse JLF, any time a Clemson basketball team beats an ACC team, you can whisper JLF. So you got to pick your moments there with Just Like Football. But the first game of the day was a great game, the Duke-North Carolina game. North Carolina Wake. I don't know why I said Duke. But that game set the tone for the day. It was down and back. It was a fast-paced game. Both teams played really well. Wake Forest got off to a crazy start. Jewel Spear, who is from Texas, my girl, hashtag fear the spear.
Oh, no.
She was excellent to start the game. She is one of the best freshmen in the ACC, and you're going to see a theme of freshmen performing really well on this day, too. She hit seven threes, and that firepower was just a little too much for North Carolina. They only hit four threes as a team. Didn't shoot the ball as well, even though their two freshmen and Usby and Deja Kelly were excellent. But I still think North Carolina is in the field. So this was good for the ACC as a whole, because I think that win got Wake Forest in the field. And guys, it's time to party like it's 1988, because that's the last time Wake Forest made the tournament. So very exciting stuff for the Deacs.
Yeah, double down, because Jen Hoover was on that team. Now with the win yesterday, becomes Wake Forest's all-time winningest coach. Kelly, here's the other thing, too. Ivana Raza, a double-double. Gina Conti had a double-double, but when you're hitting Jewel Spear with passes and she's knocking down jump shots, you can rack them up pretty quick. We saw Wake do this last year in Greensboro, right? I mean, we saw this kind of momentum build through a couple of ball games. Obviously, the implications are different as you talk about the NCAA tournament next week. But Wake has played a lot of people close, including who they're going to see today in Louisville. How much real momentum do you think they have against Jeff Walz's team based on that single regular season game that Dana Evans kind of pulled victory from defeat with the three-point play late?
They have momentum, and I called that game, guys. It was really fun, and Wake Forest proved in that game. I think that was a little bit of a turning point for them in the season, even though they didn't win. But they proved to the country that they were pretty darn good as they pushed Louisville to the brink. And I think you have a lot of confidence from that game. We talked to Jewel Spear last night on Nothing But Net. She looked confident. Now, I know she's just a freshman. She wasn't cocky, just confident. But I think Wake Forest has a lot of momentum heading into this game. And the key with the whole tournament setting, when you've played the day before and the other team is rested, I think Wake's going to have the advantage in the first half. But when Louisville inevitably makes some sort of run, whether it's late in the second quarter, or in the third quarter? Can Wake sustain that? That is the biggest question. And look, Louisville's rested. We know Louisville has offensive firepower for days. So Louisville could very well run away with this. But I think Wake, with the way they're playing, the way they're believing, Jule Spear stepping up as one of their big three, adding that into Raza and Conti, I think we're going to have a good one in this first game of the day.
You know, I want to go back to an interview we had with Dane Evans, and I think I asked her a question. I said, you know, there was the one moment I remember about Dana Evans this year was that game, Kelly, where all of a sudden during the timeout, yeah. Wake's got the lead, and there was a shot of Dana sitting on the bench as calm, cool, and collected, and you're like, oh, my God, Louisville's going to get upset. The Deacs got them right where they want them, but Louisville had the ball and the clock, and Dana Evans clear out, makes a move, and Conti had great defense. She made a tough shot, got fouled, made the free throw, and Louisville won. But it just is your point that, hey, Wake knows they can win this game. So, hey, they're playing with their hair on fire. They got nothing to lose. Let it rip and see where it goes. Pressure's on Louisville to hold serve. So we'll see what happens on that front. Now, other games, though, from yesterday. BC got the win against Pitt to start this whole thing off. Coach Mack, I'm happy for her and the girls. Taylor Soule's been awesome to watch. Mm-hmm. Syracuse, too much firepower, though, right? I mean, this is a team that if they catch fire, they can really cause problems for people because they're so good offensively.
That's a good way to put it, Pac. They are so talented offensively. They have so many weapons. You see Strautmanet there. They have Inksler. They have Kira Lewis. They have so many different players that are playing well. Now, the key with Syracuse will be what's going on with Tiana Manakahia. She has a lower body injury that she's kind of been dealing with all season in some regard. Will she play today? She did not play against Boston College. Could have been a little bit of a resting situation, and she's ready to go and has fresh legs today. So that is a big factor to watch. And the last time Florida State and Syracuse played, Florida State blew them out in Tallahassee. Now, FSU, kind of like their men's program, they're really, really good at home. But Syracuse has to guard the three-point line because Florida State was just making it rain from downtown in that game. They shot over 50% from three. So defensively, Syracuse has to lock in and guard the three today.
All right, but let's be honest. We need more velour from Quentin Hillsman. Let's just get right to it. If we don't get velour from Quentin Hillsman today, big disappointment from Q, right?
Wes, the underrated matchup today is Coach Q's outfit versus Coach Brooks, all right? Because Brooke Wyckoff has the Blazer game. It's the Blazer game that I aspire to have, to be honest, because Wyckoff is a queen. And then you have Coach Q with the velour, with like the Gucci mask, the fresh shaven head. So that is going to be an underrated matchup to watch, guys.
You know, I told Wes that we should try that, Kelly, and see if we can't pull that off. But I don't think we can. I don't think we have that game. You know,
you guys in velour tracksuits?
I don't think we can pull that
off. With the ACCN logo.
Right. I'm just not sold that we could pull that off. I don't care how early this show starts. Yeah. I'm not sold.
It'd be a little tough.
Yeah, that could be difficult. Could be a problem. Yeah. Could be a problem.
Hey, let's jump to Virginia Tech, NC State. Kenny Brooks last night. Look, I thought they were in the tournament. I'm sure you did too. But I thought they just needed to validate it a little bit, and they did by beating Miami. I'm intrigued based on the way the regular season game went and the fact that Lisa Cunane did not play in that game, right? I mean, that's the other thing about the regular season matchup. She and Kittley will be worth the price of the ticket alone today, I think.
Oh, of course. And both of those players are from right around the Greensboro area. So that makes it even more fun. Cunane and Kittley were AAU teammates. It's quite the storybook write-up right here. Now, Cunane didn't play in either of those matchups. NC State beat Virginia Tech without her, and then they lost without her as well. So these two games have been great. I'm expecting a great one today. Keep an eye on Asia Shepherd, who I love, best shooter in the ACC, best shooter in the country, who set the – think about this, guys. She set the Virginia Tech – single season 3-point makes record in 22 games. If she had 32 or 33 games, I feel like the record book would just explode. She would just destroy the record book. So it's been pretty incredible. She did sprain her ankle, tweak her ankle in the North Carolina game, and then tweak it again yesterday. We all know ankles can be finicky. There's no doubt. So we'll see how Asia Shepherd looks today. But Georgia Amor, the freshman point guard from Australia for Virginia Tech, was incredible yesterday for the Hokies. I know Camila Cardoso for Syracuse. She's the freshman of the year. Georgia Amor might end up being the freshman of the postseason. We need to keep an eye on her because she is running that team with confidence. And so it all starts with her. And the Georgia Amor, true freshman, versus Reyna Perez, grad transfer point guard battle is also going to be very fun to watch.
Kelly, is it safe to say, though, of all the teams that are still left, that NC State was playing the best heading into the tournament? Because they were obliterating people down the stretch.
I do think that's safe to say, yes, for sure. And they, because they have that balance, that's why I think they have to be one of the favorites to win this thing. And then, of course, to me, one of the favorites to make the Final Four, because they have such balance. And that's what you need at tournament time. One game, Elisa Kunane can beat you. The next game, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner can beat you. The next game, it's Kayla Jones hitting clutch shots. The next game, it's Reyna Perez going 4-for-5 from three out of nowhere and dishing out 8 assists. Jada Boyd can score the ball. Kai Crutchfield's going to lock down their best player. So I love that balance from NC State. I would argue NC State is the most balanced team in the country, and that's why I feel super confident about them in a postseason setting, because they have so many players that can beat you. And one of the big differences for them this year is how they're shooting the three. Look at that number, 37% from three. So basically you surround Elisa Kunane, one of the best post players in the country, with snipers all around her that are shooting really well from three. It's just incredibly difficult to stop. So I would agree with you, Pac. I think NC State is the hottest team coming into this tournament in the ACC.
All right, Kelly. Last game of this Friday will be Georgia Tech and Clemson. Tigers had to use a lot of energy last night. I hope there are cold tubs available around the hotel for them to kind of recover here. Kendall Spray, a miserable day for the most part until the end when she calls bank on the three. So how does Amanda Butler recharge this team to see Lorella Kubai and Lotomay Lottman and Nell Fortner's uprising team this year?
Well, shoot or shoot, all right? And that's what Kendall Spray does. That was absolutely
incredible.
Oh, no,
here we go,
the
Pac.
The level of difficulty on that shot. Look at this. The bank was open late. We're talking all-night ATM online version, whatever that was, because Kendall Spray made it happen. And then Gabby Elliott, guys, she was really the story of this game for Clemson. Yeah. She's a true freshman. She put them on her back. She had a huge four-point play. She kept them in it when other players weren't hitting shots. So you're right. Clemson definitely used a lot of energy last night. Got to bed probably pretty late, but they have all day to recover to get ready for Georgia Tech. And here's the beauty about that matchup. Look, I think Georgia Tech's a great team. They don't run as much, and Georgia Tech has less depth overall. So it might be the best matchup today for a team that's coming off playing a game. And Georgia Tech is coming off some rest. And think back to mid-February when Clemson was up 9 in Atlanta with 3 minutes to go and blew the lead. This is a Clemson team that I believe in the back of their mind thinks they can beat Georgia Tech because they had them beat. And then they blew the lead a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. So keep an eye on this game tonight. I love what Nell Fortner's done. She's the coach of the year for a reason. Lotomay Lottman and Lorella Kubai, two of the best players in the league. And rebounding is going to be crucial. And other players have to step up. It can't just be the Gabby Elliott show for Clemson again tonight. Her veterans have to step up. And I think we're in for a really good game.
All right, listen, the only thing I've got left for you is go easy on Muffet. All right, just go easy on Muffet. All right, that's a rearview mirror now. It's always about the next game. Kelly, so the next game. You can't worry about making fun of somebody about the last game.
I'm with you, okay? Coach McGraw is a legend. We love her to death on the show. We're on to the next one, okay? And she said she's going to wear orange today. I told her I would send her an orange blazer in the mail and get that, you know, expedited shipping. So hopefully she received it already.
There you go. Well, listen, keep up the great work. Should be a lot of fun in Greensboro this weekend. Really, I mean, it's going to be terrific. You got two really marquee, great teams and a handful of others that say, you know what, could be our time. So can't wait to see it.
It's going to be a great tournament. Thanks, guys, so much. And make sure everyone watches those games this weekend.
There you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Mike Monaco, who tonight will be involved with Corey Alexander on the Georgia Tech-Wake Forest game at 8 o'clock here on ACC Network, posted something to Twitter now a couple days ago, actually yesterday. And it resonated with me and also resonated with some other folks in the ACC. Here's the tweet. Moses Wright is averaging 18 points, 8.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.7 blocks. Full list of the players in the country averaging those numbers this year, Moses Wright. Full list of players from the ACC to average those numbers since 1992, Moses Wright and Tim Duncan.
Wow.
Now, Mike Stamos, the longtime sports information basketball contact at Georgia Tech, went back and expanded the list, okay? And kind of opened up the book a little wider, Pack, if you will. Moses Wright is he's one of 16 players in the country since 1992 to average those numbers, okay? Tim Duncan is the ACC player that's done it, and he did it twice, 1996 and 1997. Other guys on the list who you may have heard of, Andrew Bogut out of Utah, Chris Webber out of Michigan, Ryan Humphrey, who played at Notre Dame in the Big East days, Danny Granger out of New Mexico, who was a really, really good player too, right? But when you think about the Power Five guys, Andrew Bogut, Utah, Chris Webber, Michigan, Ryan Humphrey, Notre Dame, Tim Duncan, Moses Wright. How about that?
It's impressive.
Now, does that change your mind?
Well, hey, listen, he is without question the most improved player in the league. He may very well be the most valuable player or most outstanding player on Monday when we announce this. What that told me is I need to follow Mike Monaco on Twitter, which I don't need to do that. But, you know, I don't really care about social media. But that's a phenomenal stat. That really, I mean, that's one of those that you can make numbers do whatever you want them to do. But when you start listing it versus, hey, here's versus the big picture, make a list, that's strong.
Right.
And he has been, you know, his numbers have been even better than that down the stretch, which I think is even more important that when Georgia Tech has needed him to step up in the big games. I'm talking about games like at Virginia Tech and Aluma, who's been so good for Mike Young's team. He was the best player on the floor.
Right.
You know, the game against Duke, which we talked about how important it was this week, he best player on the floor and took over. I mean, just dominant. So you can make the case. Like I said, I'm glad I don't have a vote because it's going to be tight. And, you know, when Greenberg and Billis go, oh, it's Kalik Jones, and then you throw numbers like that, Justin Champagne's consistency. There's a number of guys you can make the case for, but make no mistake, Moses Wright has been sensational. And but they got an important game tonight. They have to take care of business against the Deacs tonight in Switzerland if they want any piece of that double bye next week. So we'll see where it goes.
The game, for those people confused, the game is in Winston-Salem.
Right, my hometown.
Pack refers to the Deacs as the Swiss.
It's
Switzerland. Right. Yeah, Swiss. All right. How about an index card check, please? The infamous ACC index card.
What would you like?
Some work on it, have you?
No, I've got it right here.
I think we're probably to the point where it's down to foul margin and free throw margin, don't you think? I think those are the ones that at this time of year probably hang in the balance most.
Well, put it up on the screen. It's all ready to roll for the best and the worst in the league right now. So if you want to have friends over and say, hey, I told you so.
Well, here's fouls.
Here's fouls for the year. And by the way, there's still a chance for Tobacco Road to finish dead last in the final four spots. Right now, Duke is dead last. So, hey, all you North Carolina fans, guess what? You got Duke Saturday. Guess who fouls more than anybody? Yeah, they're coming to your town. They're coming to your city, Chapel Hill, this weekend. Duke is 15. By the way, if you want to know where North Carolina is, they are 11th. They have a shot. We could go 12, 13, 14, 15 with Tobacco Road and fouls. It's the infamous ACC index card.
Oh,
right. You want to see foul margin? What else you want to see?
Sure.
I got it all. I got whatever you want.
Foul margin.
You want foul margin?
Let's go foul margin.
All right, you go foul margin.
Yeah, sure.
At the top, Miami, Notre Dame, NC
Miami.
State. Wolfpack Nation, you can't complain. You're third best in the league, 23 fewer fouls. The bottom end, look at those teams. Florida State, worst. Virginia, 13 with Wake. And by the way, at plus 28, not to be forgotten, is Duke. So Duke fouls a bunch. Just saying. Big game tomorrow, Chapel Hill. Just saying. Not telling you anything other than what the numbers are. All right, free throw attempts. We'll do this very quickly because we're running out of time. Pitt, again, NC State fans, I don't want to hear about you talking about the refs. You guys are having a good year. Number two in the league. Look at the very bottom, though. Clemson, BC, and Wahoo Wah. Free throw attempts. They seldom, if ever, go there. Those three. And the one that Wes loves the most, free throw attempt margin. This is an ACC games only.
This is my favorite one.
Hey, look out there. Number two is North Carolina. Man, you're always going to the line. And look who's the worst in the league. Duke. They play tomorrow if you haven't heard. Just saying. Keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on
it. Unbelievable.
There it is. Infamous ACC index card.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.